Welcome just to listen along. If you would also like to take your blue bulletin, there's verses outside of 1 Peter 3 that we'll be using as we move through the message today. We've been doing a series of messages on the home. The series is entitled Our Home, and the title of this morning's message is A Beautiful Woman. I believe there's something here for all of us, but particularly thinking of wives this morning. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to this word today, we pray that there would be something practical here for each of us. And I pray most of all, Lord, that you would build strong homes in this church, where men and women live out the roles and in the fruit of the Spirit that you have given to us, Lord, that we might be a blessing to each other as husbands and wives, mums and dads. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In our society, beauty wins. Looks and figure count far more than talent and effort in the professional marketplace. Visual media portray supermodels and computer-enhanced images to appeal to the eye. Undoubtedly, beautiful people get ahead faster, get more attention, get bigger pay packets, and get offered more help. We like getting validated by the beautiful people, the in crowd, the cool dudes. We love getting compliments from them. Cars, clothes, and in fact anything sells faster when advertised by the beautiful people. We like being like them. We like looking like them. We like listening to their music and watching or being entertained by their idols. We have become chained. We have become enslaved by externals like mere physical beauty. When I say we, I mean our society, Australian society, Western society in general. But we Christians are different, aren't we? We know that God looks on the heart and not on the outward appearance. And so our value system is different, isn't it? Spiritual depth is far more important to us than external beauty, isn't it? Or is it? Could it be that we have been swept along by the world? Shouldn't we want to please God more than we want to please the world around us? Has Christian femininity been lost in the worldly emphasis on high cheekbones, malnourished figures, and glamorous careers? Ladies, I want to stay very close to the scripture today, for in talking about the beautiful woman, it is nothing I can personally experience but only appreciate. What I say will be from the Word, I believe from God, not my personal experience. Now, those recognized by our world as the beautiful people would not be considered beautiful by God. Ladies, we need to know what the Scripture says about the beautiful woman, don't we? Many times the Scripture describes the beautiful woman by example, Abigail, Hannah, Sarah. Certainly the Scripture describes the beautiful woman by example and many times also by character description also in different places. And today we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 for our biblical instruction. In that passage, there are 7 or 8 words used to describe the beautiful woman which can be summarized in 4 main principles or 4 main descriptions. The first principle of beautiful Christian femininity described by 1 Peter 3 is quiet. The word is quiet. The word quiet doesn't occur until verse 4, but the principle of quiet, of quietness, occurs first and foremost here in verse 1 in this passage, and first and foremost on the other passages in dealing with husbands and wives. Both Paul and Peter perfectly agree on this matter, for it is the same Holy Spirit who is writing through both of them. So, don't think it is men that is talking to you this morning, ladies. It is the Holy Spirit. Now, let it be established first that this passage is talking about feminine beauty. In verse 3 we read, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Now, two types of beauty are described in those verses. First of all, in verse 3 is outward beauty. And secondly, in verse 4 is inward beauty, beauty of the heart. Just watch that again as I read through those verses. "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Now, the inner beauty of those two kinds of beauty, the inner beauty is superior because, firstly, it is incorruptible. Physical beauty will fade with time, but spiritual beauty should increase with time. And secondly, it is said that that inner spiritual beauty is very precious in the sight of God. So we're talking here about the inner beauty of the Christian woman. That inner beauty is the Christian woman's most important asset. It is beautiful, even to an unsaved man. For verse 1 says, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word," in other words, some who are unsaved, "they without a word, without preaching from their wives, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear," that is, fear of God. For now, circle the words submissive in verse 1 and fear at the end of verse 2. This woman submits to a husband because of her fear of God. In fact, as Paul explains, submission to the husband is submission to God. We read in Ephesians on your sheets, Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, on your sheet there, circle the word submit in verse 22 and subject in verse 24. Now, both those words translate the same Greek word, hupostasso, literally to be under direction. To be under the direction of a husband, therefore submit and be subject to, are good translations of that word. The submission of the godly wife to her husband is to be the same submission that she gives to her Lord, according to verse 22. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." And this submission is to be in everything, according to verse 24. "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And the submission is not based on the husband's character, whether he's a good bloke or a bad bloke. It is based on his position as husband as appointed by God. Verse 23 explains, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Now, submission is a response to the husband's leadership. The wife's response to her husband is to be one of submission, these verses say. In a little bit, we'll see that what the wife's attitude is to be to her husband. But note for now that she is to respond to her husband with submission. A woman doesn't realize how beautiful this is to a man. The opposite of quiet is contentious. And the opposite of quiet, of course, is ugly and painful. Proverbs nails that one. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 9 says, "Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Proverbs 21 and verse 19, "Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 27 and verse 15, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. They're almost funny. A submissive response is so beautiful, so glaringly different, that even an unsaved man is going to sit up and take notice of such a wife. Verse 1 says in our passage, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Peter describes the same submissive response with a different word in a couple of verses. In verse 3 it says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." A quiet spirit, according to those verses, is incorruptible beauty. And it is very precious in the sight of God and in the sight of a husband. The Greek word is esoukios, which literally means keeping one's seat. Imagine a meeting, something you disagree with, and people are standing up and having their say. Literally, quiet means to keep one's seat, be peaceable. The word is only used one other time in the whole of our Bibles, and there it is translated peaceable. A godly woman is spirit-controlled, not argumentative, but taking a peaceable position. Thus, the ideas of submission and quietness are very closely related. Can she express opinion? Of course she should, and the husband should be wise to listen. But in the end, she is not contentious. Quiet. This is the absolute antithesis, the absolute opposite of the aggressive, self-assertive modern woman. In your bulletin is a portrait of an Australian woman painted in 1946. A well-known art critic comments on that particular portrait. Now, it's typical the way these art critics talk, but just listen what he says as he looked at that particular picture. He said, "Her calmness is the patience of trust. Life has dealt roughly with her, but she is without bitterness. Words would not come easily for her, for she has schooled her mind to quietness, like someone inwardly listening, as though God murmured in her ear like the ocean in a seashell." Unquote. That's his comment. Perhaps a typical embellishment of an art critic, but what he said was true of a more godly time. The beautiful woman has a quiet spirit that responds to her husband in submission. Can you think of a beautiful woman like that? I certainly can. They fear God and they listen to him. In the realities of life, as they go through the difficulties and the ups and downs of life, they are listening to God. They've got one ear on the Lord. They show their faith in the way they respond to life in their quietness. She is not controlling, not contentious. She is quiet and submissive. That's what the Scripture says. Again, this is talking about responsiveness. It's not talking about industry or creativeness. The same woman can be energetic, creative, and industrious. She is not indifferent. She is not apathetic. Let's remind ourselves of the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, because she is responding to him," you see. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Why does she continue to do good? Because she is responsive to his direction. But this woman is not passive. If we listen to the next verse 13, "She seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for a household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers the field and buys it. from a prophet. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. The virtuous woman is quiet, but she is also creative. She is working hard there to supplement the family. The example that Peter gives of a godly woman is not the virtuous woman, but the example he gives is Sarah. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6 we read, "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror." Just in case we miss the intent of the word submit, be subject to, quiet, Peter here uses the word obeyed, saying that she was doing good to her husband. Literally, Sarah was under command. She obeyed. That's what the word means. Godly marriage vows include the word obey. Now, I know of a number of instances where brides have refused to say that word because it's not something they could promise because it's not something they would want to do. In the instance I know best, the marriage was over in a couple of years. We reject God's counsel for being a godly wife at our peril. I am not seeking to promote male tyranny. That is not God's will either. I am seeking to promote Scripture. And the Scripture says a beautiful Christian woman is quiet, and that includes obedience. This is the way of blessing. Take it to heart or miss God's beauty. The second principle of beautiful Christian femininity described by 1 Peter chapter 3 is pure. Submissive in her response, pure in her morals. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." It goes together. The woman that is responsive in response to a husband, submissive in response to a husband, will be pure in her conduct. The word our Bibles use is the word chaste. It means clean, innocent, modest, pure. Again, even a worldly husband appreciates a chaste wife. The opposite, the immoral wife, is ugly, unattractive to a husband. She might be attractive to other men, but to her husband, she would be unattractive, and certainly to God. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 10 describes this woman. "And there a woman met him, with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner." Surely, if a Christian woman would be submissive and pure to win an unsaved husband, then a Christian wife could be quiet and modest to please a Christian husband who is a brother in the Lord and heir to the grace of life, and of course to please her Lord in godly fear. Joseph Lister was born on the 5th of April, 1827. His family were Quakers. They were godly people. He graduated with an honors degree in medicine at age 25, and he became assistant to the surgeon James Syne at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. In those days, medical staff did not wash their hands. Can you imagine what that meant? It meant the wounds got infected. Often, the flesh became gangrenous and it rotted. If you've ever smelt gas gangrene, you cannot keep your stomach intact. It is very bad to smell. Many patients died as a result. Lister read a paper written by Louis Pasteur, who claimed that the rotting and infection that you saw in wounds was due to microorganisms. And he said that those microorganisms could be controlled by filters or heat or chemicals. And so Lister started experimenting with chemicals. He noted that carbolic acid or phenol was used to spray on sewage to keep the smell down. So he started spraying fennel on wounds, on hands, on the surgical instruments. And guess what? The amount of infections went down dramatically. Wounds no longer became septic. So the carbolic acid was said to be antiseptic. He made surgeons wear gloves and wash their hands before and after operations. And all that's taken for granted today. As germs are to wounds, so is sin to marriage. Purity in surgery and purity in marriage prevents problems. Gangrene is very ugly, and so is sin. Purity in marriage and in medicine is beautiful. It is attractive to the husband. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says, "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge." Purity, of course, goes beyond the mere physical purity in marriage. A beautiful woman will be godly in all her ways. It is feminine and it is attractive. The beautiful woman of Scripture, again, is in total contrast to who the world sees as beautiful today. Ladies, you choose which beauty you want. The third principle of beauty, beautiful Christian femininity, is described by 1 Peter chapter 3 in this way: gentle. The word is gentle. Verse 3. "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle spirit and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Gentleness is an incorruptible beauty that is pleasing to God. It's okay to be physically beautiful, but the priority is spiritual beauty. The word translated adornment is cosmos, from which we get the English word cosmetics. There are two types of cosmetics, ladies. There is the expensive ones that you put on the outside and wear off, or the ones, the cosmetics that are free, that are on the inside and grow with time. Let your cosmetic, your beauty, be that of a gentle spirit. What is a gentle spirit? The word is praos in the Greek language. Jesus Christ was said in the New Testament to be praos. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5 says, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly." That's the same word as gentle in 1 Peter, lowly, "and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of the donkey." In fact, not only Jesus Christ is to be praised, but all Christians are to be praised. Matthew 5 and verse 5, Jesus is preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, "Blessed are the meek." Circle meek, that's the same word as translated gentle in 1 Peter 3. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Meek, lowly, gentle, humble. Especially the Christian woman is to be gentle in her attitude. The following words describe the beautiful Christian woman's responses to her husband: submissive, subject to, obedient, peaceable. These words describe the beautiful Christian woman's attitude to her husband: meek, lowly, gentle, humble, like her Lord. A beautiful Christian woman will have an attitude of respect toward her husband also. Ephesians 5 and verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, each one of you, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." That's one more word to describe her attitude. A beautiful Christian woman will have an attitude of respect to her husband. Wow, that's a big one. You see, every time a husband fails to meet his wife's needs, her expectations, the natural response is for her to lose respect for him. After the realities of years of marriage, many Christian wives have by that time lost respect for their husbands. The natural attitude is of disrespect after some time. Not when they first get married, but later on, the natural attitude is of disrespect. The godly, supernatural attitude is to maintain an attitude of respect for a husband despite what he's done, despite what he is. Respecting a man who does not deserve respect shows a unique work of the Holy Spirit in a woman's life. Continuing respect of an imperfect man, perhaps above anything else, is like a thermometer to show a woman's inner spiritual life and her connection with the Lord, her love and devotion to Christ. Normally, a Christian man is aware of his own warts. Sometime we're not. But as we've read, he does not need a wife to keep reminding him of his warts any more than a wife needs a husband to keep reminding her. When she returns respect in all situations, that would be extraordinarily beautiful to him and humbling. He knows he doesn't deserve that. So the key words to describe the attitude of a beautiful Christian wife are humble and respectful. Is this tough? Absolutely. This can only be lived in the power of God's Holy Spirit. If your marriage isn't perfect, take heart. No one else's is either. We're not perfect. That's why. A newspaper featured two headlines shouting from adjacent pages. In Japan, battered wives begin to rebel. And on the opposite page, in regard to Britain, Britain tries to shore up marriages. Different countries, different cultures, and yet with the same problems between men and women. Why? Could it be that we wrongly expect another person to meet all the needs of our hearts? If so, we've placed an impossible burden on that person. No one, no man, no woman can meet all the needs of our hearts. Ladies, your deepest needs must be met in Christ, not your husband. No man could ever do that or be that for you. And your husband, maybe not perfect, but you can continue to respect him and be humble in the home if your needs are being met in Christ, if you are drawing from Christ. And that's not a cop-out to the men. We've emphasized on a previous occasion the responsibilities of the men. And if you'd like to go to our website, you can hear that message there. But we emphasize the man's responsibility as well. Today, we're emphasizing the wife's responsibility and her role. But even two imperfect people ought to be a blessing to each other if their roots go deep down into the bedrock of Christ. We ought to be able to bless each other, oughtn't we? Yes, you can respect your husband. It's the mark of a beautiful Christian woman. The fourth principle of beautiful Christian femininity described by 1 Peter chapter 3 is, I'd use the word poised. Poised. By poise, I'm referring to that confident rest, a confident rest that comes from fearing God and not fearing men. Already in this passage, we've seen that the beautiful Christian woman is to fear God. In verse 2, we read, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, that's the fear of God. Now, Jesus Christ instructed in Luke chapter 12 and verse 4, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. That's men. Men can kill us if they want to, but they can't do any more after that. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Now, the idea of this is, if you fear God in that kind of way, then you have nothing else to fear. Nothing else can make you afraid. The beautiful Christian woman should fear God, and she should not be afraid of her husband. Let's read verse 6, and then I'll explain a little more. And Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. and not afraid with any terror. Now, the end of verse 6, those words, and not afraid with any terror, are difficult. And as I look through the commentators, each commentator has his own idea of what those words mean. I'm not going to survey the different opinions there for you. I'm just going to explain the interpretation that I'm compelled to accept. First, the phrase, not afraid with any terror, surely does not refer to fear of God. The only other subject of this passage is the husband. The godly wife is to respect her husband, but, I believe this verse teaches, she is not, never, to be afraid of him. What kind of fear? Afraid with any terror. You see, there is a danger in submission for any woman. There is a danger. I can understand a woman being afraid of submitting. I can see that some men would take advantage of a submissive woman, just ride roughshod over her. But a woman who fears God knows that God is in control. A woman who fears God knows that God has a good plan for her life. And so such a woman can rest her life in God's hands. She can submit to an imperfect man without fear, because she is trusting the Lord in that situation. And that is what I believe verse 6 means. Let's read it again. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good, and not afraid with any terror. So a beautiful Christian woman has poise. She is not fearful. She is not anxious about her position. She submits to her husband with full confidence that God is able to take care of her situation. There is a beautiful poise about her character. Now, poise, the word poise originally referred to weights and then a balance of weights, and so came to refer to balance of character, a composed bearing. Men fear going to war, but a soldier with poise will gain respect. According to former Aussie Prime Minister Paul Keating, President Obama has poise. We might want to argue about that, but some think that he has poise, whatever else he has and haven't got. According to the Canberra Times, a new Hopewadi adds poise to his boxing power. You see, poise is a lack of fear in intimidating circumstances. Poised. It's attractive and found in a woman of depth. Quiet, pure, gentle, poised. That would be an extraordinary woman. No woman is like that naturally. May, ladies, you desire the filling of God's Holy Spirit so that you can be the woman that God wants you to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know how hard this message was to digest for some. I pray that you would give the grace for each one to test the scripture for themselves, to see if these things be so. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would give the strength, if these things be so, by the power of your Spirit to live them out. I pray for a church with godly women. I pray for a church with godly men. I pray that the husbands might nurture their wives. They might nourish and cherish them as Christ does the church. And for the wives, I pray, they might learn from the Holy Spirit who wrote through Peter and Paul, that they might be women who are quiet, pure, gentle, and poised. Bless each lady here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.